Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. What a great show we have for you guys today. We're going to be talking some Sweet 16. We've looked at all the games. We've talked sides. It's now to talk some time to talk some totals. We will dive in to that. We will also look at some Major League Baseball. We talked about the AL yesterday. We're going to talk about the NL today. We will dive into some golf. We had teed up Tuesday yesterday. Today, we'll do a little play-em or fade-em. Kate Constable will join me in the middle of the show for Model Making Money, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, if you're new to the show, if you're returning as a listener, you know the drill by now. We want you to chime in. Questions, comments, best bets, anything that you guys have, let us know over the next 30 minutes. We'll get to whatever questions that you guys have for us. Can be in any sport, college hoops, NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, whatever you want. Great time of year, so much going on. Let us know your questions. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We're going to start by going off the glass with our favorite totals for the Sweet 16. We're going to start with my favorite total. That's going to be the first half over in Bama and North Carolina. We were talking about this game yesterday. I told you guys, we posted this clip on social media as well. Talked about how much I like Bama in the first half, +2.5 against UNC. Bama played a really good non-conference schedule. They played Creighton, they played Purdue, they played Arizona. All three of those games, it was either a two-point game or less at halftime. Bama was up by two against Purdue. They were tied against Creighton, and they were trailing by one to Arizona. All three of those games were also both teams scored 40 or more points. The total in this game is at 82.5, and I like the matchup for Bama in terms of the total because North Carolina doesn't mind running and gunning. Neither does Florida, but Carolina doesn't mind running and gunning with Bama either. Bama's tempo is top 10 in college basketball. North Carolina's is top 40, about 41-40. So Carolina, they'll push the pace. They think they can beat Bama at their own game. They have great guards, great shooters. I think this is going to be an awesome game to watch. There's a reason that the total is at 173.5. Bama just had their offensive stinker against Grand Canyon, right? And normally teams that don't have, that play as bad a defense as Bama does, usually don't get to this round, but they play great defense against Grand Canyon. Can't see that defense showing up against Carolina, but I think their offense is going to play much better. For whatever reason, Bama this year tended to play to the level of their competition in the non-conference. When they went up against these great teams, they kept it close for the first 20 minutes. These games were super high scoring, and then they just kind of wore down in the second half. So I kind of see the same thing happening, where maybe Bama doesn't score as much in the second half. Carolina pulls away a little bit. But in that first half, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it could be like a 45-44 game at halftime. I'll take the first half over 82.5. Next pick that I like is San Diego State first half team total under 28.5 against North Carolina, against UConn. UConn has given up 20 points or fewer in both of their tournament games so far this season. They gave up 18 to Northwestern. They gave up 19 to Stetson. UConn has the number 8 defense, according to KenPom, in college basketball. Both of the teams that they have faced so far in the tournament, Stetson and Northwestern, have not played at a fast pace. Stetson's pace ranks like 260th. Northwestern is like bottom 40 in college basketball. Both of those teams play slow. Well, so does San Diego State. And the Aztecs know the only chance that they have in this game is to muck it up and keep it ugly. They're not going to be able to score 80 points on UConn, 70 points on UConn. Remember, they were in the same exact spot last year. Sweet 16 matchup, playing the number 1 overall seed in the tournament when they went up against Bama. They pulled off the upset because they held Bama to 3 for 28 behind the 3-point line. Got to try and do the same thing against UConn. They have to try and make life tough for them, hoping that UConn just misses a ton of shots. On the flip side, even if UConn's offense isn't great, I expect their defense to give San Diego State fits. The one bright spot that the Aztecs have on offense is their big man, Jaden DeLee, but he's going up against his toughest matchup he's faced the entire season in UConn big man, Donovan Clingan. So I'll take the first half under team total for San Diego State at 28.5. I think DeLee against Clingan's a bad matchup. San Diego State playing at a slow pace, wanting this game to be low scoring. I'll go first half under with the Aztecs. Next up, Clemson, Arizona, under 151.5. So we talked about this game yesterday. I like Clemson plus 7.5. All three of their tournament games so far, they have played very good offensive teams. They played New Mexico. They played Baylor. Now they're playing Arizona. New Mexico is a team that likes to push the pace. Arizona is the same way. There were some teams that Clemson played during the regular season, whether it was Bama, whether it was TCU, whether it was Memphis, North Carolina. Bunch of these games went under the total. For whatever reason, when Clemson goes up against these high-powered offenses, teams that want to really push the pace, the games aren't as high scoring as kind of what is predicted, what the odds makers set the line at. I kind of have a feeling that this game is going to be the same way. So I'll take the under 151.5 in Clemson and Arizona. If you like Clemson plus the 7.5 like I do, I think the under is probably a good play because Arizona's also got a really good defense. They're top 10 in offense and defense. So I think that'll help out the under as well. Up next, my favorite total is going to be the under in Iowa State and Illinois. We talked about this game on Monday. I really don't have a strong feeling of who's going to win the game, but if you do, I would correlate that with the total. And the reason why this is one of my favorite totals is because I lean Iowa State, and because of that, I'm going to take the under at 146.5. This is the number one defense in college basketball versus the number one offense. Like, this is what you want in sports. Best on best. What's going to win out? Illinois is playing really good right now. They have struggled, though, against some top defenses in the country that are able to force turnovers. Iowa State is one of the best at that. The deeper that we go into the tournament, I'm going to trust defenses more and more. So that's why I lean towards Iowa State. I'll take the under 146.5. And then finally, I'll take the over in Creighton and Tennessee at 143.5. Tennessee, the reason that I had them going to the Final Four, the reason I was higher on this year's team than in years past was because of their ability throughout the season to show that they can score with some of the better offenses, not only in the SEC, but in college basketball. Even though they lost to North Carolina earlier in the year, they scored 80 in that game. They beat Bama twice. They scored 90 and 80 in those games. They scored 86 and 100 against Kentucky in their two meetings. So when they went up against some of the best offenses in the country, they were able to score points with them in those games. Creighton's got a very good offense as well. They can be streaky offense at times. You don't know what kind of Creighton offense you're going to get for certain stretches of the game, but when they're hitting their shots, they're really, really tough. Because Creighton doesn't have a lot of depth either, I think Tennessee's game plan in this one is going to be to try and attack and get them in foul trouble as much as they possibly can, try and assert their will, try out-tough them a little bit. So I think there could be a good amount of free throws. I think both teams could be in foul trouble throughout the game, which could help this total as well. So I'll take the over 143.5. So again, Bama UNC first half over 82.5. San Diego State first half team total under 28.5. Clemson Arizona under 151.5. Iowa State Illinois under 146.5. And Creighton Tennessee over 143.5. From college hoops, let's go to Major League Baseball. What a day tomorrow's going to be in sports. We got the Sweet 16. We also have opening day. We talked about the AL yesterday. Time to talk about the National League today. And the NL for me is a lot like the NFC in the NFL. It feels like the NFC is very top heavy, right? You have the Niners, you have the Lions, you have the Eagles, the Cowboys, and then you're kind of searching for like, who could that other team be? The National League's kind of the same way. You have the Braves, you have the Phillies, you have the Dodgers, and then you're like, who's that other team going to be? Is it going to be the D-backs again, who made the World Series last year? Is it going to be the Padres and the Giants, maybe, out of the NL West? Is it going to be the Mets with all that money they're paying certain players? I think that the Braves are the team to beat in the National League, personally. I know that the Dodgers are the favorites. They now have Ohtani. They have Glasnow. They have Yamamoto. They have all these guys. But if we have seen through the years, money does not buy you championships. It certainly does not with the Dodgers. They have had plenty of great players over the years. They have had a huge payroll over the years, and it really hasn't resulted not only in NL pennant wins, but just playoff series wins in general. They obviously got swept by Arizona in the playoffs this past year. So I'm not high on the Dodgers, especially at that price. I don't want to get involved at plus 160. Maybe you wait a little bit until later on in the season. I also kind of want to see how all this Ohtani stuff, if there's some distractions going on with the Dodgers. Things that don't get talked about a lot now because of the balanced schedule in Major League Baseball, these teams like the Dodgers, these teams like the Yankees, these teams like the Braves, when you go on the road, especially to all these AL ballparks, when you go to like Tampa or when you go to like Kansas City or Detroit or maybe even, you know, Seattle or something like that. If some of these lesser NL teams were to come into those parks, there wouldn't be big crowds. But when the Dodgers come into town, when the Braves, when the Phillies, when the Cubs come into town, all these big time baseball organizations, it's going to be a big advantage for those other teams that don't have to play in stadiums that are quite as packed. Dodgers are going to have to bring their A game every single night. Now, they win 100 games every single year, and they'll probably do it again this year, but you wonder if that kind of wears them out by the time we get to the end of the season. So I'm not high on the Dodgers. I do think the Braves are the team to beat in the NL this year. I think this is finally their year. I think Strider is going to be unreal again. Max Fried is finally healthy. He'll be great. I like the addition of Chris Sale. Bryce Elder is going to be back for them. He was an all-star caliber pitcher before he got hurt. We'll see how the back end of the bullpen looks. That lineup is still going to be really, really good. They just got to get past the Phillies. And we see this all the time in sports. There are usually these great teams. There's usually one team that gives them fits. And obviously for the Braves, that is the Phillies. The Phillies, to me, are actually the team to beat in the National League, not the Braves and the Dodgers. The Phillies are the team that has been to the NLCS the last 2 years. They know what it takes to get to that spot. They know what it takes to win in October, but I think the Braves finally get over that hump. I think they win the National League, so I like Atlanta this year. There are some teams that intrigue me in the NL. I think the D-backs are certainly intriguing just because they made the World Series last year, and it's like, they were a year ahead of schedule. So are they going to regress this year? And are they going to miss the playoffs? Are they going to continue to build that momentum and maybe even make it back to the World Series? They just added Jordan Montgomery yesterday. They added Eduardo Rodriguez in the offseason. Eugenio Suarez came over as well to add depth to their lineup. So on paper, they did get better. We'll see if that translates to more wins and another playoff berth for Arizona. But another team in the NL West that I would watch out for is the San Francisco Giants. They got a new manager in Bob Melvin, who's back in the Bay Area. He did great things with the Oakland A's. They picked up two Cy Young winners from the last couple years. Blake Snell, obviously last year's NL Cy Young winner. Robbie Ray, they picked him up in the offseason as well. They got some nice hitters. They got some good prospects that are upcoming in that organization. So much talk about the Dodgers. There's so much talk about the D-backs making the World Series last year. San Diego's got Machado and Tatis and all these stars. But don't sleep on the Giants. This is an even year, 2024. We know the Giants, that's when they tend to have their best season. So that's a team I would watch out for, is San Francisco at 22-1. But I do like Atlanta to win the National League at plus 240. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable joining me here on Send It In. And Kate, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ, surprisingly enough, no five-star plays today. But we do have a five-star play tomorrow. And this one is also extremely surprising. It is San Diego State plus 11 against UConn. The model loves that, which is, surprising because UConn is 11-3 against the spread in non-conference games, 11-2 against the spread on neutral court. So, I mean, this is going to be a very fun game, a rematch of last year's national championship. But the model is leaning towards San Diego State at least covering that 11. That's the five-star play.
Oof. I don't know how many people are going to be tailing the model on that, Kate, but we'll see what happens. UConn, as we know, has been so good against the spread. How about for today, Kate? Is there anything that you're eyeing, anything that you have that you're betting?
Yeah, two plays in the NBA that I love today. One of them is the Raptors team total under 98.5 against the Knicks. The Raptors last five games, they failed three of them. They failed to top 100 points. They're a perfect 5-0 to the under on their team total in their last five games. They just played the Nets on Monday, only mustered up 88 points against the Brooklyn Nets, which the Nets defense compared to the Knicks defense, there's quite a gap there. The Knicks have the best defensive rating over their last 10 games. So I don't see them letting the Raptors score 100 points on them. I'll take Raptors team total under. And then I also like the Clippers -5.5 today in Philly. Ty Lue just called his team out and said they were soft after losing to the Pacers on Monday night. And now they're back in Philly playing the Sixers, who they just lost to two games ago, were blown out on their home floor. So they get another shot at Philly. Sixers shot 48% from deep in that game. That's not going to happen again. They've shot 33% from deep over their last 10 games. So that was a little bit of an anomaly. You also have Russell Westbrook that's back in the lineup, his second game back. You have the James Harden revenge factor going back to Philly and playing against Daryl Morey's team. Clippers just can't really afford to lose many games. They're barely hanging on to the fourth seed. So I think we get a very motivated performance from the Clippers tonight. This 5.5 is just a little too short.
Yeah, good call on Harden tonight. Love myself a good revenge angle as well. Kate on the Clippers -5.5 against Philly. Kate, let's talk about some of the teams in the Western Conference playoff picture. Let's start with the Rockets. They lose Şengün. Everybody thinks the season's completely over. All Houston's done since is win 9 straight games. They're a game and a half back of the Warriors for that 10th and final spot in the play-in tournament of the Western Conference. There's only 10-11 games left to go in the season. Do you think the Rockets can edge out Golden State for that final spot, or do you think the Warriors can hang on?
Yeah, who would have thought that losing one of your best players would spark a 9-game win streak for the Rockets? They've been playing great, but their schedule's about to get really tough. They have the 5th toughest remaining schedule, play OKC, Minnesota, Clippers, Dallas twice, Orlando, Miami. That's going to be a very tough stretch to end the season, whereas the Warriors have the 5th easiest schedule. Warriors also have the tiebreaker over the Rockets. They've won 2 games against Houston this year. There's only 1 game left to be played, only a 3-game series between those two teams this year. So I don't see the Rockets getting over the hump. Steph Curry also, you know, so experienced, likely going to just will his team into staying in the play-in. So I would have to back the Warriors over the Rockets. Just Rockets' schedule upcoming is just going to be so tough.
Yeah, totally fair. How about the Lakers? Man, they're playing a lot better. Great win last night, double OT in Milwaukee without LeBron. What kind of potential do you see out of the Lakers maybe as we start to get closer and closer to the Western Conference playoffs? You know, everybody's always looking for that sleeper, the nice 20-1, 25-1 long shot. Do you think maybe the Lakers could potentially be that team?
No, that was a great win last night over the Bucks, but I do not see the Lakers going far in the postseason at all. I mean, depending on where they fall within the play-in tournament, they're likely to get the 8th spot, or the 8th and final spot in the postseason, which means then you have a first-round matchup with the Nuggets. And the Lakers were swept by the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals last year. Like, that's a terrible matchup. So to not only get out of the play-in, right now they're going to have to play 2 games and then have a first-round matchup with one of the top teams. I don't see it happening. You have AD, whose knee was bothering him last night. Who knows what's going to happen with that? LeBron's ankle has been bothering him over the last couple of weeks. I just don't see it for this Lakers team this year. So I'm going to save my money and I'd put it on someone else over this LA squad.
All right, Kate, before I let you go, a couple of Sweet 16 questions for you. We got that kicking off tomorrow night. We talked about it earlier in the week, but just looking at the Thursday games, we know the BetQL model likes the Aztecs plus the points against UConn. Is there a bet that you like for Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to go against the model. I've already bet UConn minus 11, so I'm taking that. But I'm also going to take Clemson plus the points at 7.5 against Arizona. Clemson's going to be facing a much better defensive team in Arizona than what it just saw in Baylor. UConn, Arizona, only two teams left in the tournament that are top 10 in adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency. But that said, Clemson was really good in the non-conference. Beat South Carolina, TCU, Alabama. It's also a very old team and has some size, too. Arizona doesn't shoot a ton of threes, likes to score down low by the rim. Clemson has five players that are 6'8 or taller. They can match up with Arizona's bigs. And a little concerning that Arizona wasn't able to put Dayton away. They let Dayton back in that game despite being up big late in the second half, and just some silly mistakes that it seems to be costing Arizona down the stretch of games. So sticking within 7 points, I'll take the Tigers at 7.5.
I like it. I've been talking about that play all week. I like Clemson as well. Kate, who do you think is a team in the Sweet 16 that you are most confident makes it to the Elite Eight outside of UConn? Who do you think just wins outright if you had to pick one?
Well, they're an underdog, but I like Creighton to win outright against Tennessee. One aspect of this, yes, it's Rick Barnes in the tournament. He's 4-16 against the spread. That's not great. But as far as Tennessee, I mean, as good as they are on the defensive end, their offense can stall quite a bit. And if they're not generating some easy buckets from their defense, turnovers, things like that, I mean, they shot just 12% from deep against Texas. That can't happen against Creighton because Creighton will kill you. Creighton's offense, very efficient. They can get to the line. They love to shoot threes. And if you watch their first half game against Oregon, Creighton was getting really good looks, really open shots. They just weren't knocking them down, and they still managed to shoot 38.5% in that game against Oregon. So I think this is one that's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a close game. But experience, Creighton has been here before. I think they're the team that's able to get over the hump. So I'm back in the Blue Jays.
Love it. A lot of great stuff there from Kate in the NBA and in college hoops as well, joining me today on Send It In. Kate, great seeing you. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis. From spreads and over-unders to player props, stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to do a little golfing with Glasser. We do a little play 'em or fade 'em here on a Wednesday, talking some PGA Tour. We got the Texas Children's Houston Open at Memorial Park. Shawnee Sharp, who's the first golfer that we're either playing or fading?
Well, how about the guy who just won the Players, PJ? Scottie Scheffler is at plus 275 to win.
Yeah, he won the Players. He won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's going for the first three-peat, I think, in a long time. First guy to win his last three events that he started in a while. And if there's anybody better to do it, it's Scotty. Look, it's minus 165 for him to finish in the top five. It's minus like 300, I think, for him to finish in the top 10. So you don't want to bet any of those prices. Maybe you wait to see if Scheffler is in like 30th or 40th place after round one and you get a much better price. The problem is this dude was like five shots back of the lead to start Sunday at the Players, and he still ended up winning, and that was with one of the best fields in golf. Books are terrified of this guy. You're not going to get a very good number. So look, I know it's plus 275. Nobody wants to bet that kind of number on an outright in golf, but like, if you're going to do it, Scotty's a pretty good guy to do it with. And he's playing in Houston. He's a Texas kid. He went to the University of Texas. He's going to be great this week. I would play Scheffler at plus 275.
Next up, we have Sahith Theegala. He's at 16-1 to win the Houston Open.
Yeah, this price has dropped. Sahith was at 20-1. Now he's at 16-1. So because of that, he's going to be a fade for me. If this was a TPC course where Sahith excels, then I could buy it. But at this course that is traditionally one of the harder non-major courses that these guys play, especially with this event traditionally being in the fall and now it's in the spring here this year, I just don't know if it's the best course fit for Sahith. And the fact that we could have gotten a 20-1, now it's at 16-1, I'm going to fade on Theegala this week.
All right, next up, we got a guy who's in really good form, especially as of late here, Wyndham Clark. He's 12-1 to win.
Yeah, I like Wyndham this week at 12-1. Another guy's been playing really good golf. He's had himself in contention the last couple tournaments. Scotty won both the API and the Players, but you know who was right there in the mix was Wyndham Clark, playing great golf, and this is a course that should set up well for him. It helps to be long and accurate on this course. That's what Wyndham Clark is. It also helps to be a really good scrambler. That is how he won his U.S. Open. So he checks all the boxes of what you're looking for this week, the kind of golfer like Wyndham at 12-1. He's a play.
All right, next up we got Alex Noren. He's at 33-1.
Yeah, you know, Noren's been playing some solid golf as of late. He's played in six events this calendar year. He's made the cut in all six of them. He's got two straight top 20 finishes, which I think is why his price is what it is at 33-1, the recent form. But the course fit for Noren on this kind of golf course at Memorial Park, just don't think is a good one for him, especially with some golfers kind of in that 30, 40, 50-1 range. I think there are a lot better options than Alex Noren, so I'm going to fade him this week.
All right, you're going to have a Hoagie this week. Tom Hoagie is at 45-1.
I sure am. Let's hope Hoagie's not making any bogeys, Shawnee Sharpe, because we're going to play him this week. Great iron player, which is what you need. Again, that's going to be the theme. This course is a par 70, and it plays 7,400 yards. There are five par threes and three par fives. So there's five par fives at eight. Five par threes out of 18 holes on this course. So you got to have a guy that's good with these irons. It's accurate. That's what Tom Hoagie is. He has two straight top 20 finishes. And so he's playing very well. I like Hoagie this week.
All right. Maybe you'll have your Hoagie on some rye bread with Aaron Rye at 50-1.
I'm going to take Aaron Rye as well. 50-1. I'm going to play him. Rye's been playing awesome golf, solid iron player. He's accurate. That's what we're looking for to this week, and he's got good course history. The last two times he's played here, he's finished in the top 20. Plus 220 on Aaron Rye to finish in the top 20 this week. Certainly a play that I would take. I like him 50-1 as well. He's going to be a play for me.
All right, next up on the list, we have another 51, Billy Horschel.
Yeah, Billy Horschel's going to be a fade for me at 50-1. He's been totally boom or bust this season. Seven events for Billy Horschel. Three of those he's finished in the top 20. Three of those he's completely missed the cut. This is a tough golf course. Billy, the last couple years, has not been very good on tough golf courses. I'm going to fade him at 50-1 this week.
All right, last one. We got a big odds here for Bobby Mack, 100-1.
Love Bobby Mack, 100-1. If you watched the show yesterday, you know this is my long shot. We want a guy that plays tough golf course as well. Bobby Mack does that. We want a good iron player. Bobby Mack's a good iron player. And we want somebody that can play in the wind as well, because that could be a factor this week in Houston. I'm looking at the odds boards right now. Bobby Mack, to me, should be like in the 75, 80-1 range. Think it's a good price. Get him at 100-1. Bobby Mack, my play. Wyndham Clark, Bobby Mack would be the two guys that I take outright. If you want a nice long shot, Robert McIntyre would be my guy. New show alert for you guys. It's going down again today afternoon. Join Lucy Burge, Jake is on for episode 2 of Bet Slips and Bat Flips. You can tune in every day to get the edge on all things baseball. Jake and Lucy, they're going to break down the day's games, dish out prop strategies, and even talk some college baseball. Plus, they want you to be a part of the action. You can send in your best bets, get in on the fun. Catch the first pitch again today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BetQL Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Don't miss out. Jake and Lucy, the first episode yesterday was awesome, so make sure you guys tune in for episode 2 coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time today. Time to wrap up our show with PJ's plays here on Send It In. Luka Doncic got us 11 rebounds tonight, so that was very, very nice. We're going to try and hit another prop lock. We're going to LeBron, over 25.5 points tonight for the Lakers against the Grizzlies. Lakers are on the second night of a back-to-back. They just played double overtime against the Bucks. Now they play one of the worst teams in the Western Conference in the Memphis Grizzlies. LeBron didn't play, so he is one of the guys on the Lakers right now that is one of the most fresh, one of the most well-rested. I think LeBron's going to understand that. This is a game they should win, that they need to win, the Lakers. So I think LeBron's going to take matters into his own hands. He's going to be more aggressive tonight, look to score more. I'll take LeBron over 25.5 points for the Lakers. I see Beef_VZ in the comments is saying, hoping for UNLV tonight. in the NIT. That is actually going to be my stay-away game, Beef. I'm going to stay away from Seton Hall and UNLV. I would probably lean towards your side. The Mountain West, obviously, had six teams in the NCAA tournament this year. San Diego State's the only one that made it to the Sweet 16 yet again. But UNLV had a really good year in that league. Seton Hall is a team that people feel like they probably should be in the tournament with the way that the Big East has looked so far. That 5.5 feels about right. I'm going to stay away, but I'll be rooting for you for the Rebels to cover that number. The game that I do like in the NIT tonight is going to be VCU plus 8.5 against Utah. So Ryan Odom, this is his first year of VCU. He came from Utah State, where he coached for 2 years. Oddly enough, Craig Smith, the head coach of Utah, was the coach at Utah State before Ryan Odom was. So there's kind of like a budding rivalry between these guys, almost trying to outdo the other. Ryan Odom was the coach at UMBC when they upset Virginia. He knows what it takes to win this time of year. If you listen to our show, we were doing the A-10 handicaps. It's why we liked VCU so much. They came a game short against Duquesne of making it to the tournament. I just think this is way too many points. I'll take VCU plus 8.5. Shawnee Sharp's going to go Miles Turner over 1.5 three-pointers made. And my best bet is going to be that San Diego State first half team total under 28.5 points against UConn. In the first two games of the tournament so far, UConn has given up 18 points to Northwestern and 19 points to Stetson in the first half. Both of those teams played at a slow tempo. So does San Diego State. The one guy on offense that San Diego State can lean on is Jaden DeLee, their big man. He's been awesome this year. He's been awesome the first two games of the tournament. The problem for him, he's got face Donovan Klingon for UConn. I think those guys cancel each other out. I think UConn's defense suffocates San Diego State probably the whole game, but certainly for the first 20 minutes. I like that first half team total under for SDSU at 28.5 points. To recap, our best bets for today. The prop lock is going to be LeBron over 25.5 points for the Lakers tonight against the Grizzlies. Seton Hall, UNLV, my stay away game. VCU, my dog of the day against the Utes. And take that first half team total under 28.5 points for SDSU. Make sure you guys listen, rate, subscribe to the Send It In podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here for some more Send It In. Good luck on all your bets.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.